Hey, this week's Parshas Re'eh. This week is the beginning of Chodesh Elul. Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh Elul. There are stories about Gdol Yisrael when they Mevarch Chodesh Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul. Yihi Abiyoyim Hashlishi Abiyoyim Harvi. Is that when it is? It's Monday, it's Tuesday, Wednesday. They fainted. What? It's seated, but the stories they had to be revived. So it's not a simple matter that we are holding here at Chodesh El Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh El. It's usually Parshas Re'eh. Okay, being the parsha begins Re'eh Anochi Nosim Lifnechem Hayoyim Bracha Uklala. There's a bracha and there's a klala. Then the pasuk goes on to say, "Sabracha sher tishmu el mitzvos Hashem Elokeichem, asher nochi mitzav eschem hayom, v'yaklolo im lois tishmu el mitzvos Hashem Elokeichem." Okay, so we have here, okay, the bracha and the klala. Okay, so I saw a very nice remes. The remes is bracha, is bracha. Klala is roshei tevos, v'keren. Hayenes lo loylam haba. So really in truth there's all that's being presented here is pure bracha. He nay after always a mahapich, a rebbe knows how to mahapich the bracha, a klala le bracha ki ahevecha Hashem olokecha. There is no klala. There's bracha. Again, klala is vikeren kayemes lo loolam haba. That's what it says in the pasuk. Hashem Baruch Hu is giving you bracha in this world, and the keren is preserved for olam haba. Now, this drush goes a little bit further, and this is something which you have to find a strong makor if it's really true. What's the bracha? What can a person expect to receive reward of the perils in this world? As habracha, asher tishmu, you will listen el mitzvos Hashem Elokeichem. You will do the positive mitzvos. Asher anochi mitzave eschem hayom. But the haklala, the hakeren kayemes loyel olam haba, is primarily for imlosishmu, which is a code for the loisases. In this world, the Kadosh Baruch Hu lo sishmu el mitzvos Hashem Elokeichem. Period. That's where you put the dot. That's where you have to stop. So, in other words, in this world, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, there are many. Most of the Torah, in fact, there are more losases than there are. There are 365 losases and only 248 positive. I told you one story. The person went to yeshiva, and the parents were complaining to the Rebbe, "Why you always have so many instructions? What the kids should not do? They come home, they have to sign sheets. We did not have to sign every night. He did not watch television. He did not play with his Game Boy. He did not go on the internet. He did not speak Lashon Hara. He did not misbehave. Why is this, everything is negative, negative, negative? Why don't you instead give me a chart to write? The child went home. He looked at the Gedolim pictures. He learned Chumash. He did a Chesed. He did this. He did that. Why the negative? So the principal, this is the way the story, the principal said to him, yeah, it's a good point. We're going to reevaluate. We're going to reevaluate our sheets. But you have to understand, in the Torah, there are more losases than ases. So that sets the tone. That sets the tone that you have to be more careful with the negative than the positive. But the point is, if a person doesn't do an Avera, how do you expect to receive reward? The concept of the reward is, you do something, you get a reward. If you withhold yourself from doing the world, that's not in this world where reward is expected. When a person lives a life and doesn't do harm, right, just don't do harm. Live your life without a cause. I once heard about a certain celebrity. This is a gracious celebrity. It's a lot different from a celebrity. They asked the celebrity, "What do you want to be remembered for in your life? What is your legacy?" Says, "I don't want any legacy. I just should be on record that I did no harm." That's a tremendous thing.
That's the
physician's first rule,
right?
For is it? Do no harm. Doing no harm, you have not done anything positive. So if you have not done anything positive, you're not going to expect to be in the limelight, and they should name buildings, put your name on buildings. What did this person do? He was just a regular guy. He didn't bother anyone. He lived quietly. Eino chinami. V'hakeren kayemes lo le'olam haba is im lo sishmu el mitzvayis Hashem Elokeichem. Concerning lo sishmu is a code for the loisases. Im lo sishmu, for the loisases, a person is observant, he does not do averos. You're not going to get credit. If you do mitzvah, I did stalker. I gave $1 million to this organization. So what do you expect? So he's going to be plastered on the front page of all the newspapers, and everyone's going to go, oh, what a great guy, he gave $1 million. Ein hachanami, if you do the mitzvos, bracha, you want to do the positive mitzvos, es mitzvos, asher tishnu el mitzvos, Hashem Elokeichem, that's where you're going to get reward in this world. You're going to receive the payros. You're going to receive. But a person should not be disheartened and think, not every person has an opportunity to do mitzvahs in a big way where he'll leave over in this world a very great legacy. So he gets down. What am I here for in this world? What am I here to accomplish? The chizuk is, this world is just temporary. The hakeren, the ikar keren, the kayemes, loy le'olam haba, is for being mekayem, nimlosish mu'el mitzvahs Hashem Elokeichem. Is being mekayim the lo say. So tremendous chizuk in looking and being in living a proper attitude towards being mekayim the mitzvos in this world. Okay, let's run now to another short idea. Okay, this is just a short idea which made an impression upon me. It's not very big idea, but we have the Ir Hanidachas. Ir Hanidachas is an entire city which is of Avodah Zarah, and everyone in the city has to be killed, be wiped out. And then it says that all of the property has to be destroyed. The word the Torah uses to describe the property is the word shalala. Right? Hake sake es yoshu ir ahiv lefi chodev hachare moysa v'yes kol asher bo v'yes behemta lefi chodev. Fine. Kill, wipe everyone out. Then v'yes kol shalala. All the booty. Now, if you were writing the pasuk, would you use the word booty? No. You would use v'yes kol nimoyna, v'yes kol harachosh, v'yes kol sherba. What's the word shalala? The word shalala is used exclusively in Tanakh in reference to war. You have an enemy, and the enemy wants to kill you, and you have to go to war to obliterate the enemy. They are spoils of war.
V'yes, who is called shalom?
Shalom by Matos and by Yericho, the Shalom war. L'chayr, the word, yes, and the pasuk repeats a few times. It says, V'yes kol shalala. First, take the shalala, tikpoits, el toich rechayva. V'sad after, v'sayir, v'yes kol shalala, kolil. What's going on over here? Why are we using this word? So the Bali Musa, I don't remember where I saw this, but it made a very powerful impression upon me. The Bali Musa say, when you think about Avodah Zarah, right? We live in a world, Baruch Hashem, we live in our community, and everything is fine and good. New out there, somewhere out there in the Midwest, somewhere in some other country, there's an Ir Hanidachas. They're doing Avodah Zarah. Alright, so isolate them. Isolate them, they're doing Avodah Zarah, we'll wipe them, and they should be punished. It's not a war. There are Yechidim, there's a group of people who have done an Avera. It's not the way you look at it. When you have a city that worships Avodah Zarah, and for that matter, and there are many types of Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah today has been channeled, instead of worshiping idols, worshiping money, or anything that is strange, Avodah Zarah, when you have an entire community, it's a cancer to the world. And when you go and you wipe it out, you're not just isolating, no, taking care of just a little problem. It's a war. When you have a community, a city that is doing an Avera, the attitude you have to have to isolate, to obliterate is, it's a mulchama, kanos. It's a mulchama, and that's why the Torah B'davka chose the word V'yes kol shalot tikpots. It changes your approach, your attitude towards isolating communities, groups of people who are doing Averas, because they can very easily influence other people. Before you turn around, their behavior can spread to other people. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have in this week's parasha the kosher fish. Okay, the kosher fish. What are the simanim for the kosher fish? Fins and scales. The Gemara takes note that every single creature that has scales, kaskeses, automatically has fins. But if a fish has fins, it does not necessarily mean that it has scales. So the Gemara asks the question, so the Torah should only write scales, because if that scales, that is the ultimate sign that it's kosher. Why didn't they bother to write fins? The Gemara answers, lahagdil Torah ulehadira. in order to make it's not there, it's order for people to make it to darsh and to make drashas. So what is the deeper meaning of this? I saw in Sefer Vayomer Eliyahu Barav Eliyahu Atya, he says a very beautiful idea. He says this, what function do the fins and scales accomplish on a fish? The scales serve as a shield. We just learned in Eov about Leviathan. The scales are a shield, a mogain. It protects the fish. The fins, on the other hand, serve as oars. They serve as a propeller. They serve as direction. They give the fish the koach to mobility. It gives it the mobility to move, to go forward, to reach a certain destination. So what are they mesamel? So Rav Eliyahu Atiyah explains is that fish is a creature which lives in water. It's mesamel Talmud Chacham. It's mesamel a person that lives, needs Torah to survive. Hoy, this week's Haf Torah, hoy kol tzamei l'chu l'mayim. Anyone who is thirsty should go to water. Ein mayim el Torah. Mayim is Torah. The fish represents the Talmud Chacham. A person lives in water. Person lives with Torah. Torah serves two functions. He accomplishes two things by living in an environment of Torah. Number one, it's Megan. It protects him. It protects him from harm. And more importantly, it protects him from the Yetzahara. Chazal say, Barasi Yetzahara, Ubarasi Torah Tavlin. A person has the Yetzahara to do all types of horrible things. And the antidote to the Yetzahara is the Tavla, is the Torah. The Torah is the antidote. The Torah is the Megan. It protects the person from his base self, from the part of him that can cause great harm. What else does Torah accomplish? A fish lives in waters. He has fins. He can become. He can accomplish great things. Without the Torah, a person is not in a frame of mind to accomplish something. Torah is, I don't have all the memory, Chazal is machkim. It gives a person wisdom. Torah gives a person an outlook. It gives them a brach of success. There are numerous Mamari Chazal that tell that through immersing yourself in Torah, you have the ability to accomplish great things. Besides the fact that it protects you. Now, Chazal tells there are different types of Talmidei Chacham. Sometimes there are people out there that are not so sincere. They like to take the Torah as a tool, lekanter, to provoke and to make trouble. There are people who use the Torah as a means of harm. So here is what Rav Eliyahu Atiyah says. You have a Talmud Chacham. You have this. Is the Talmud Chacham, is this person who studies Torah, is he using the Torah, learning Torah l'shma? Or the only reason why he's involved in Torah is because he likes the kavod, he likes all of the fringe benefits that come along with the kavod. He'll be a rabbi, he'll make a good paradasa, he'll be wise, he'll be able to use Torah as a tool, and to accomplish things that he otherwise would not be able to accomplish. If his only goal is to use the Torah, lekanter, as a tool to accomplish something, that is like a fish that only has fins. As fins. He's using the Torah as a vehicle for something else. He's not using the Torah l'shma. So that is like a nechnami, so that's also okay. But a person's kavanah is only shlo l'shma without the kavanah that it should one day become l'shma, that is not ideal. If we have a person that uses the Torah as a means, a tool to do things which are harmful, which are sinful, that is like a fish, a creature that is immersed in water and Torah, that only has fins. It has fins, it's being able to move mobility to use the Torah as a vehicle to accomplish things. That is a non-kosher fish. That is a Talmud Chacham, that is poisonous. On the other end, if you have a Talmud Chacham, that's an innocent person, just has scales. He learns Torah, like you said before, on the Lois Aseis. He has a Yetzar, Barasi Yetzahara, Ubarasi Torah Tavlin. He doesn't have such hasagas to become a Rosh Hashiva, to have covered money, a big family, and all of the brachas that the Torah promises a person who learns Torah. He just learns Torah Lashma in order to protect himself from the Yetzahara. Barasi Yetzar, Barasi Torah Tavlin. He has the scales. any Talmud Chacham that focuses on the scale aspect of what it represents, to protect yourself from the Yetzer Hara, mimela automatically will have the fins, automatically will have all of the fringe benefits that come along with the Torah, the infinite number of brachos the Torah gives a Talmud Chacham. Lehimimela will come lehagdil Torah lehadira, will come to the madrega of greatness. So this is the drush of Rav Atya. There are two simonim in a fish, fins and scales. The scales represent protection. What is the protection? There's no frills. You're not going to be on the front page of the newspaper. You're not going to become wealthy when you just focus on the scales, because the scales is nothing more than to protect yourself from the Yetzirah. Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlin. The fins, that's the glory of the fish. That is what represents it's the engine. That's what represents all the benefits to Milas. If a person focuses only on the fins, there's no raya that it's a kosher fish, because a fish that has only fins, does not have scales, it doesn't mean anything. But if a Talmud Chacham focuses on the scale scales, that dimension of Torah, the protection from the Yetzer Hara, just the simple that benefit, the Nelos fish that has scales automatically will also have fins, he will come to the Madreg of Lahagdil Torah Ulahadir. So that's the idea from Rabbi Eliyati. Rabbi Eliyati has another very beautiful idea, very short idea. Why is it that the ultimate, what is the significance of having fins of fish? Is a Talmud Chacham. It has scales. Scales, like we said before, is Megan. And also has fins. So he explains that he puts something in the water. The Gemara Masechet Kedushin says that one of the obligations a father has to a child is he has to teach his child how to swim. So what does it mean that all the things the father has to teach? Why did the Chazal give that example? If you put a piece of wood in water, it floats and it moves. A person also can float. You go into the water, you know how to tread water, you'll also float. What is the mile of swimming? The mile of swimming is to go against the tide. If you don't know how to swim, then you can float and you can move. There's also mobility. There's also mobility. But where are you going to travel? You'll travel with the current. Wherever the current goes, that's where you will go. Whatever society does, that's what you will do. If the Hamoinam follows a certain derech in life and you're in the water, that's where you're going to find yourself. The goal of having fins is in order to go against the current. And that's what a father has to teach his child. He has to teach him that don't follow the masses. You have to be independent. You have to be your own man. You have to go against the current, against the tide. This is the beautiful idea from Rabbi Eliyashiv. Zechet Zag Levracha. What?
This is different from the...
Totally different. Well, yeah, different ideas. Completely different ideas. Okay, there's a very famous drash. I just saw this, a very nice medrash plia. It ties very nice, a very famous fart. Aser ta aser. We learn this only when... We learn this on Sukkis, on Shmini, on Achrein Shmini Atzeres, and we learn this on Pesach, only when Pesach falls out on Shabbos. When Achrein Shal Pesach is on Shabbos, so we begin from Aser to Aser. Everyone knows the drasha. Aser, b'shvil shetish aser, shetish, with a shin, ashirus. Aser is giving myself. Tis asher. The pause aser to aser. It's written with a sin. The little dot is on the left. Aser with a sin means tithe. To separate 10%. Aser to aser. You shall surely separate your tithes. Give 10%. Lashon of Eser. Chazal Darshan, if you will separate 10%, if you will aser, then I guarantee you that you will, to play on the word, then you will be rewarded with ashirus, with a shin, with the dot on the right side. Aser, b'shvil, shetis asher, you shall become wealthy. This is one of the few things a person is allowed to test the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can test the Kadosh Baruch Hu by giving tzedakah. You can test the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can test the Kadosh Baruch Hu by giving tzedakah and seeing if Kadosh Baruch Hu will reward you. So there's a medrash pliya. It's a very simple idea, but it gives you a good way to remember this Chazal. The medrash pliya says on this pasuk, Avraham said to Lot, he pardoned on the Olai, im asma'ol ve'emina ve'im yamin asmi'ila. If you go to the left, I will go to the right, and if you go to the right, I will go to the left. And now, yeah, this medrash only makes sense when you hear the part of the story. The medrash also, there's a medrash that tells about a story about a person that did not give ma'aser. He, all his life, he gave tzedakah, but then he decided enough is enough. I'm not going to give tzedakah anymore. And the year that he stopped giving tzedakah, he was punished that his crop only produced 1/10 of what it normally produced. That's why it's aser taser. It's part of the medrash. It says that you make sure you give your ma'aser, because if you don't give your ma'aser, if you're not going to go give aser taser, give 1/10 of your produce to tzedakah, then guess what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will only allow your field to yield, will only give you 10% of what the field, the potential of the field should bring. So here's the medrash plia. It's just a simple medrash plia. Imasmol, if you will go to the left, meaning you'll read the pasuk aser, you will do your duty, you will give 10%. Then the emina, Hashem says, I will do my part, I will read the word, where the dot is not on the left side, but is on the right side. Absolutely. On the right side is Ashirus, Bishvil Sha'ata Tis Asher. But but if you go to the right, if you put the dot on the right side, meaning you only reason why you're giving tzedakah, the only reason why you're giving tzedakah, it's not lishma. Okay, then we have to. I left that part as part of the point. Let's take a step back. When the person gives tzedakah, even though we have this beautiful chazal. The Chazal say that you're giving it stock in order that aser b'shvil shetis asher. That doesn't mean that should be your kavana. That's a very wrong attitude. Because if a person does not become wealthy, because the Shbaruch decides he's not to become wealthy, he's going to in Echlam, the poor will come, will say, I'm not becoming wealthy. Hashem has not done his part, so I should not do my part. A person has to give tzedakah on l'shem shamayim. And if he'll give it l'shem shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that, don't worry, years later, whenever it will come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give a person wealth. But if a person, that's where the Medrash plea comes to elaborate, that the kavana, even though Chazal make the drasha, aser ta aser, aser, that should not be your primary kavana. V'im hayomin, if your primary kavana is that you're going to give for ashirus, that's your primary kavana. I'm going to give the ma'aser so that I should have ashirus. Then Hashem says, and guess what? Va'asmi'ila. Then when your crop will only yield 10%. Not only will you not get the bracha, you will not even get what you would normally get. Because the kavana has to be l'shem shemayim. A person should not give tzedakah, even though we have this chazal, that mitach shlo l'shma bo l'shma, and the bottom line, everything is relative. There are different levels. Of course, the person can go start with kavana b'shvil sheyichya b'ni. Gemara says that b'feresh. But it should not be, the medrash plea is coming to point out, don't overdo it. Don't abuse the chazal. In the back of your mind, you can use this as a chizik to give stock in order that you should become wealthy. But in the back of your mind, you should realize, that's right, that's what I need to encourage me, but I'm really giving it l'shem shemayim. I'm giving it in a small v'yemina. If your primary kavana is to give tzedakah l'shem shemayim, that's when I promise you the bracha, aser b'shvil shetis asher. But if the asvim ayanin, if your primary kavana, you want to rip out the whole union of tzedakah, and tzedakah is nothing more than a pure business investment. There's no nobility in giving tzedakah. It's just something in order to get a gift, quick get rich scheme. Hashem says, then guess what? Your giving of your tzedakah is not going to accomplish anything. Adarabba, it's going to bring you a loss. Then asmi'ila, I will cause it that you will only produce aser. Your crop will only produce 10% of what it would normally produce. Okay, that is the medrash plia. Okay, let's go to another idea.
I think you once said this before, Rabbi Reiser said it. Omer Sela Zub.
Yichya Bini.
So the deacon of Lashem, why say Omer?
Yeah.
Because I'm noisem.
I'm not, yeah, yes. What's the Omer?
Rabbi Reiser from Morocco, he says that there are two ways of doing a mitzvah. You do it still at height, nobody knows you did a mitzvah. And the other way is you do it for Hesia.
Okay.
So the mile of Shtilahai, you did l'shem shemayim. For Hesia, you're doing for Kuvit. A But here he says that when the person is making a pledge in the shul, ha'omer, he says it. Why is he doing it? To be machanach his children.
So they should also give tzedakah. They should see if I give tzedakah. Beautiful, beautiful art. It's so very, very nice.
No?
He repeated that one from.
Very nice. Very, very nice. Okay, let me tell you a vard. Now, this vard I want is a two part. Okay, it's a two part vard. The first part of the vard comes from the Reish Sharaf, that Aaron Levine, my great grandfather. My great-grandfather. My grandfather says the following part. We have in the parish of Basar Taiva. Basar Taiva, the Torah says, it says in fact in two places, B'shorecha toichalena hatameh v'hatahor yachtav katzvi v'chwayo. Well, it's in two places. First, it's in the parik tezvav pasik chaf beis. And then it's before that, my Basar Taiva, before we come to the Moadim, before we come to Basar Taiva, Akiyachvim Perik Yudbeis, Pasik Chof, okay, Pasik Va, Pasik Chof Aleph, Pasik Chof Beis, Ach Ka Asher Yeochel Es Hatzvi Vies Vayol Kein Toichlenu, Hatome Ve Hatohor Yachtov Yochlenu. Perik Yud Beis, Pasik Chaf Beis. Three bases. Yud Beis, Chaf Beis. Pasik talks about when a person, you're not going to be able to go there, it's still too far to travel to the Beis HaMikdash in Karbanah, so instead you're going to want to eat meat in your hometown. Pasik says, no problem, I'm going to be matter you to eat Basar Taiva, does not need to bring a Karban, and you can eat it in a state of Tumah. Not only can you eat it outside of Yerushalayim, you can eat it in a state of Tumah, meat, just like one would be able to eat a Tzvi and an Ayol. A Tzvi and an Ayol are Chayos. They are wild animals. Never in the Torah do we find an obligation or a heter to bring as a Karban a Chaya. Only thing that you offer on the Mizbeach are behemos. You never eat, put on the Mizbeach wild animals. So if you don't bring on the Mizbeach, it's not offered as a Karban. There's no such rule of Tumah V'Tahara. Tumah V'Tahara is only a rule that applies to Karbanos when it comes to behemos. But a Chaya, there's no din of Tumah V'Tahara. So the Pasuk over here comes to tell us that when it comes to Basar, even the Basar would normally be a Karban, if the Basar is not being offered as a Karban, it's brought to school in, you can eat it in a state of Tumah, just like you can eat in a state of Tumah a chaya, and the Torah gives two examples, a tzvi and an ayal. So the question is, why did the Torah need to give two examples? And in fact, we have later on in the parasha of the animals, the Torah is matir 10 different types of animals, and then the Torah gives simonim of the various animals, and the Torah lists 10 animals. It lists 3 behemos, and it lists 7 chayos. A tzvi, ayal, a yachmur, an Ako, Dishon, Zomer, I left out one, 7 Chayos. Why the Torah select from the 7 Chayos Tafka, Tzvi, and Ayol to illustrate that you can eat Basar in a state of Tumah? So first thing, there is a very beautiful Medrash. The Medrash compares the nature of a Tzvi to the nature of an Ayol. When a Tzvi runs, a Tzvi is always looking backwards. That's the nature of a Tzvi. A deer, is it Tzvi a deer? It's a question of its mamash a deer, but whatever the Tzvi is, as it runs further, and always turns around its head to see where it's coming from. An ayol, what's an ayol in English? A ram, it never looks backwards. Doesn't want to know where it came from, it's always going forward. So he says the following, now this is part one, we'll come to the second part in a few moments. Part one of this drush, part one, the Reish Rav explains, why do we connect the Tzvi and the Ayol here to the Tomei and the Tahar? So he wants the Darshan, the Tomei refers to a Baal Tshuva, a person who has committed sins, and now he's turning over a new leaf in life, he wants to do Tshuva. But until now, he's Tomei. The Tahar means a Tzadik Meikara. How does a person live a life? How does a person, Baal Tshuva versus Tzadik, live their life when they want to go forward? So we match up. The Tzvi is matched up to the Tomei, and the Ayol is matched up to the Tar. Ach kasher yeochel es hatzvi v'yesu ayol kein tochelenu hatomei v'hatohar. You have to put first there are two sets, and you have to match up the first with the first and the second with the second. The Tomei is compared to the Tzvi. The Tomei is compared to the Baal Tshuva. The Baal Tshuva. Oh no, I'm sorry. I think I made a mistake.
You shouldn't look backwards, right?
The other way around. The Tzvi. I made a mistake. The Tzvi. No. The Tzvi does look backwards.
He looks back at what he
has to look back what he was to do tshuva.
Looks back what he used to be.
Okay, so that's what he means. So he looks back what he was. He has to look back what he was to do tshuva, and that should influence him in order to go further. But the tahar does not have what to look back to. So the tahar, the tzaddik meikar, he looks is always looking forward to accomplish new things. Okay, but like with that idea, let's go a little bit further in the parasha. In the further parasha, we have. A heart. It's not a ram. No, that's an ayil. You're referring to an ayil. There is an ayil and an ayol. An ayil is a behema. Is a ram. That's a behema. An ayol with a komatz is a chaya. Ayil and ayol.
The
hine.
Heart.
H-A-R-T.
It's a street
name.
Small
idea.
Yeah. Your family.
Av Ravina, we found an ayil. Vayisena vayar vihine ayil. This is an ayol. Okay, now here's the point that we want to make. We'll go back later on to the parsha. There are ten different types of animals. I probably once told you this part, but when the Torah begins to list the animals, it lists 10 animals. Zos habehim asher techelu. What are the 10 animals? A shor. That's number one. Number two is sei chesavim. And number three is v'sei izim, shor, keves, and an ace. Then it goes on to list shor, chesev, or ace. Shor, chesev, or ace. Then we have seven chayos. Ayol, tzvi, yachmur, ako, dishon, usa'o, v'zoner. Seven chayos. Grand total of 10. Seven chayos, three behemos. What are these 10 animals connected? It's a fascinating Baal HaTurim. Balaturim, beginning of this section, after it's a pasuk base, b'cholo am al pshna al pnei ha'adama, and beginning of this perik yud dalit, pasuk base, in the Balaturim, it says why there are 10, the behemos hitir shalosh, behemos, v'sheva chayos, kineged, aseres hadibros. It's a Balaturim. Bal haturim, perik yud dalit, pasuk Pasuk Beis.
In our
Sedra. Parshas Re'eh. Fascinating Baal HaTurim. Ten animals. Three behemos, seven chayos, keneged yaseres hadibros. That's all he says. Which that means, if you match up all the animals in order, each animal corresponds to one of the aseres hadibros. What's the first of the aseres hadibros? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Now this makes perfect sense. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, what is the way we correspond to? What's the first animal on the list? The shor. When Klal Yisrael, they decide they no longer want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they want the eagle, they want to serve Avodah Zarah. What do they exchange Anochi Hashem Elokecha for? For an eagle. What is an eagle? What is an eagle? An eagle is a shor. Eagle is a baby shor. Eila Elohecha Yisrael. So it goes to show that it wasn't just arbitrary that they, let's go worship a god and we'll take an animal, whatever is walking on the street, if there's a dog walking on the street, we'll have a dog, a cat. No, they bedavka took a shor. They took a shor, an eagle is a shor. Why did they take it? Because there is some connection between the aseres hadibros and each one of the dibros, and to some degree what it represents is captured in the 10 animals that the Torah enumerates. Okay, now I can analyze all the aseres hadibros in this light. I'm not going to go through because I don't know how they all correspond. I just want to make a point out too. We have in this pasuk, we have the tzvi and the ayol. And we know, according to the Medrash, that tzvi has a nature to always to look back. And the ayol, the Medrash says, always looking forward. What does the tzvi correspond to in the aseres hadibros? I'm making a very big mistake. It's just the opposite. The tzvi does not look back. It's the ayol that looks back. That's why I'm thrown off.
Okay.
the tzvi never looks back. And that's why I've been thrown off. Let's take a step back. If I'm not mistaken, the tzvi is always looking forwards. And the ayol is the one... The ayol is the one that... Wait, let me think. I don't remember, so I have to go look it up. I'm a little bit mixed up, but we have to go look it up. But the point I wanted to make, it's a medrash, it's a popular medrash. I don't remember. Okay, but whatever it says, let me just give you the Maamar Kamos, and we can figure out the drasha later on. These two, the tzvi and the ayol, therefore correspond to which two mitzvos? The mitzvos of kibud av v'aim and the mitzvah of Shabbos. The fourth dibra is the dibra of Shabbos, and that corresponds to the ayol. The order now, that's why I'm all mixed up. The ayol, tzvi, v'yachmar. Right? Let's assume for the moment that the tzvi is the one that looks back, and the ayol is the one that looks forward. In the list of animals, the fourth animal is the ayol, and the fifth animal is the tzvi. We start off with the three behemos: the shor, the keves, and the ace. That's the first three. Correspond to Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Lo Yielcha, and Lo Sisa. Those are the first three. Now we go to the remaining seven of the Aseres HaDibros, which begins with Shabbos. Shabbos is number four, and five is Kibud Av V'Aim. What is number four correspond to in the animals? The Ayol. What does number five correspond to? Kibud Av V'Aim. What is Kibud Av V'Aim? It corresponds to the Tzvi. Why the Tzvi? Because what does the Tzvi do? It looks back. What is the essence of Kibud Av V'Aim? To go be mechabed where you've come from the past. Shabbos. Why is Shabbos compared to the Ayol? What is Shabbos all about? Me'ein Olam Haba. It's true, Shabbos is Ma'aseh Bereishis. Shabbos is Matan Torah. But the ultimate Shabbos is Yom Shekula Aruch. The goal that we live in this world, the world is divided into 7,000 years. Our goal is to prepare for the future, for the Shabbos. Yom Shekula Aruch Olam Haba Shabbos. It's Misamel Ato Echa V'Shimcha Echa V'Mikamcha Yisrael Goyecha Baris. The Tkuf of Shabbos that will happen La'asalavo. The Mele Shabbos is B'davka compared to the Ayol, which is the creature that is always looking forward. It is our destiny. It is what we are preparing in this world. Mishem Echa Me'av Shabbos Hu Yechol B'Shabbos. Again, the Tzvi is the creature that represents the mitzvah of the Aseres of Kibud Av V'Aim. That is exactly what the Tzvi is all about. The Tzvi is always to go look back to the previous generation, look back to the parents. That is the purpose of the tzvi. Here it's backwards. Here it's ayol utzvi v'yachmor. By the pasuk of hatami v'hatar yochlenu katzvi v'ayol. There it's the opposite. So there, that's another thing. But why is the order changed? Okay, let's go to another idea. We have in this parasha to kibud av v'aim, the fifth one. That's the order. The Torah lists 10 kosher animals. The first three are chayos, and then there are seven. First three behemos and seven chayos. Shor, keves, ace. Number four is ayol. Number five is tzvi. What is the fifth of the dibros? Kibud Av V'Aim. What is the medrash say? What is the overwhelming characteristic of the tzvi? When it travels forwards, as it goes forwards, it looks backwards. As we travel forward in life, it is the obligation of a child to look back at where he came from, to look back at the mechabed his parents. Why is the ayol compared to the dibra of Shabbos? Because Shabbos represents, when every time we observe Shabbos, it is a mashal for Olam Haba. Me'ein Olam Haba. It is a preparation of where we are heading. We live our lives in hachana, in preparation for our destiny, for Olam Haba, for the future. So there is some connection between these two creatures and how they are matched up to the Aseres HaDibros. Just like it's posh that we understand the Shor. The Shor is matched with Nochesh Elokecha, and the Klal Yisrael, they wanted to worship the eagle. They made for themselves a Shor to replace Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That reveals that Anochi is corresponds to Shor. Now, by the way, we always break up the luchos into either 10 commandments, or we break them up into 5 from the 2 seven luchos, the ben adam la mokrim, ben adam la chaveru. But there's really another way to break up the luchos, and that is 3 and 4. And the simon for that is Datzach Adash Biachav. There's a message that says that Moshe Rabbeinu, his stick, the mate, this also comes from the Reshav, the mate of Moshe Rabbeinu was etched Datzach Adash Biachav. And the Medrash makes a very strong comparison between the characteristics of the mate of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the luchos. It says that they were made, they weighed the same thing. Okay, I don't remember all the details, but there's a relationship. Once you establish that there is indeed a relationship between the Mate of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Luchos, then it's interesting to take note that they both have 10. On the Mate, it was etched the 10 Makos, and the 10 Makos, according to the Medrash, was etched Datzach Adash Biachav, which is 3, 3, 4. And in the Luchos, there are 10, which tells us to break up the Luchos into 3 different groups. 3, 3, and 4. And it makes a lot of sense. What are the first 3? The first 3 purely relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Lo Yelecha V'lo Sisa. These are 3 mitzvos which are purely spiritual. Now let's go to the next mitzvos. The next mitzvos are, let's go to the last 4. Okay, the last 4 are that's number 5. I'm going to make a mistake. I'm embarrassed. I should know this by heart. Give me a half a second. The last five are lo tinof, lo tinof, lo tignov, lo sanev reacha eitshav, lo sachmod eishes reacha. Those who are purely bein adam lachavero. Okay, the last 4. Review. What are the last 4? Lo tinof. Adultery. Are you dealing with God here? No. You're dealing with Eishes Ish. You're dealing with an Avera that involves your friend. Lo Tignov. Is there dealing with Hashem here? No. Purely, don't steal your friend's property. Lo Sane V'Reacha Eishav. Don't testify falsely against your friend. You go to court? It's kidnapping. Okay, but it's Adam Chaver also. Okay, you're kidnapping your child. Okay, kidnapping a human being. Okay, lo sane vireacha. It says beferish. Don't testify against your friend. By testifying in court, you're causing him to lose money. And lo sachmod eishes reyecha. The last 4 are purely mitzvos bein adam lachavero. The first 3 are purely mitzvos bein adam lamakom. Anochi lo yiyeh lo sisa. What about the middle 3? They're both. The middle 3 is Shabbos. Shabbos is Oynik Shabbos. You enjoy Shabbos, but it's also a remembrance of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kibud Av V'Em. A parent is like a god to some degree. It's a human being. A person is a human being, but the parents brought you into this world. You have Shloisha Shlitvim Ba'adam. And Lo Tirtzach, don't murder. Murder, it's not just taking the life of a human being. Every human being is Vitzelem Elokim. So you see here that in the Aseres Hadibros, we are familiar looking at them either as one unit of 10 or units of 5 and 5, but in Chazal they're also broken up into 3, 3, 4. 3 Adam LaMakom, the middle 3 is a mix. It's both Adam LaMakom, Adam LaChavero, a complex blend, and the last 4 is purely being Adam LaChavero. You see this idea again expressed here by the animals. There are 10 animals listed in the parsha. The Baal HaTurim says the 10 animals correspond to the 10 Aseres HaDibros. The first 3 are behemos. The first 3 are behemos. Shor, Keves, Eis. That corresponds to Adam LaMakom. Now the next is tricky, I don't know, but the next is you have to say the last 4 of the animals. I didn't work this out, but according to this rule, the last 4 of the animals are, okay, I don't know, you have the Ayil, Utsvi, V'Yachmur. Indeed, in the Pasuk, those who are grouped together. There's an Esnachta. Ayol, Utsvi, V'Yachmur. That's a category to itself. Esnachta. And then the last 4 are grouped together. V'Yako, V'Dishon, Usov, V'Zomer. So you see the grouping is the same. You see, just like in the Yav, the Aseres Adibros, 3, 3, 4, we have 10 animals, 3, 3, 4, there is some type of relationship. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. We have...
On the matter of that, what do you mean, Rabbi Yehuda Nosson Goyim Simonim? Because he says on the matter, it didn't group it that
in that way. Order, like in Tehillim.
The tables of all the matters, Rabbi Yehuda was the one who separated it.
Aha, according to Tzal Jechav. Okay, very good. Okay, very good. Okay. Okay, another quick idea. We have in this parasha the mitzvah Lila Rego 3 times. Shaloish Pa'am Bashana. 3 times a year, a person should go to the very end of the parasha. Shalosh. The place Hashem will choose. Problem is, why is this pasuk said here when it already was said twice before? It was said once in Parshas Mishpatim. In Parshas Mishpatim, the pasuk Perik Chof Gimel pasuk Yud Zayin. Shalosh peramim b'ashana yireh kol zuchurcha. El Pnei Ha'odoin Hashem, the Master Hashem. And then it says it again in Parshas Ki Sisa, Perek Tes Zayin Pasik Yud Zayin. Pasik says, let's see where it is. Perik Lamedalid Pasik Chav Gimel. Okay, Pasik Chav Gimel Shalosh Pamim Bashana Yereh Kol Zuchurcha Espinei Ha'odoin Hashem Elokei Yisrael. And then again, Alparsh. Why 3? So I once heard the answer is because it alludes to the 3 tkufas in history when we will be Oilel Regel. The first time that's written in Parshas Mishpatim. In Perik Chav Dalid, there the words are Shalosh Pamashani Rechol Zuchurcha El Pnei Ha'adoin Hashem, the Master. The Master HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to the Tkuf of the Bayis Rishon. During the time of the Bayis Rishon, Hashem was recognized as the Master of the entire world. Adon Olam Hashem Melech Tehrem Kol Yitzin Evra. At the time of Shlom HaMelech, he controlled the entire world. Everyone in the world recognized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the creator of the world. And the Beis HaMidrash was a Mokam Ki Beisi Beis Tefila L'chol Ha'amin. It was universal. And that's what the pasuk alludes to. The very first time, the first time there's going to be a tekufa where people will come to see a kavshar and drink abundance will be during time of bayis rishon. The second pasuk in Parshas Kisisa in Perek Lamid Dalit pasuk of Gimel refers to the tekufa of the bayis sheni. The time of the bayis sheni, the Beis HaMikdash was not recognized as the center of the world. It was on a much smaller scale. We were under the control of first. Of Paras, of the Persians, and then under the control of during the control of the Romans. And in the middle, there was a period of time when we had some autonomy for a certain period of time. But Bayis Sheni was only Miyuchet for Klal Yisrael. The Umos Olam always stayed away. And that's why in Parashas Kisisa, in Perek Lamed Gimel, Perek Lamed Dal, Pasuk Chav Gimel, it says, Shalosh, Peram Bashana, Yereh Kol Zuchurcha, Es Pnei Ha'adoin, Hashem, Elokei Yisrael. Only Elokei Yisrael. This week's Parsha is Merames on the Tkufa of being Oyel L'Regel Shalosh from Hashem that's going to happen, the Yemos HaMashiach. And times of Mashiach is going to be it's not only going to be for us, it's going to be for the entire world. And the expression is unique. Shalosh pam bashana yireechol zuchurcha es pinei Hashem Elokecha. Doesn't say Elokei Yisrael. It doesn't say Adon, Master. It says Adon also. It says Yudkei Vavkei, and it says Elokecha. Elokecha alludes to the midah of din, of the synthesis of midas harachamim with midas hadin, which is something which is the expression that is used to describe Yemos HaMashiach. In the first two psukim, there's no mention of Elokim. Hashma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. the ability in order the Yom Baro Hashem Elokim Es Hashemah Ve'Asar, it's the fact that it mentions Elokim. Okay, I don't have all the details, but it's something which is on a higher Madrega than just saying Odon and just saying Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Here it's Hashem Elokecha. It's more sophisticated than Odon. It's Yudkei Vavkei. It's also Elokim, but it's not limited only to Elokecha. It alludes to the Tkufa of the coming of Mashiach of the Baal Yishlishi, when once again it will be for the entire world, even on a higher madrega. Okay, another short idea caught my attention. We have here the mitzvah of Yisa Ach Sameach. Very interesting expression. It refers to the mitzvah of Simcha on Shmini Atzeres. One of them we have in this fact, all the Moadim. All the Moadim are not all, but some of the Moadim are presented the Shalosh Regalim, and then we have Sukkis, and it doesn't really tell us much of the mitzvah of Shmini Atzeres. The only thing it says is the Hayisa Ach Sameach. Chazal come to use this to be marbe Lel Acharon Shel Chag. There's a mitzvah of Simcha, and once the mitzvah of Simcha not unanach, that Simcha overflows to the next day. The question is, what is the essence, the nature of Shmini Atzeres? All of the other Moadim, the Torah pretty much tells what they're about. When it comes to Pesach, Yitzias Mitzrayim. Comes to Shavuos, well, we know it's for the Omer, and we know from historical, from the date, it's Zman Matan Tereseinu. Sukkis, we know, corresponds to the Anani HaKavot. But what is Shmini Atzeres? Shmini Atzeres, you're not saying in the Sukkah, you're not taking Dalad Minim. What is the Yom Tov all about? And also, the number 8 is not a number which really fits into Jewish thought. In the Jewish thought, in Olam Hazeh, everything is 7. 8 doesn't really, it's something which is Lamala, it's Chanukah, it's not something which is Teva, which is natural to the Torah. So many Darshanim, they say this independently. It's one of the this idea that I came across, is that Shmini Atzeres alludes to Yimos HaMashiach, the Tkufa of Mashiach. It alludes to Olam Haba. Just like 8 is L'mal Miderech HaTeva, it alludes to, in Olam Haba Chazal say, the mitzvos will be bottled. There is one Maimon Chazal, and Tzadikim Yoshim, the Atresem Birashem, the Nenem Izev Hashchina. It's not going to be a world where we're going to be Mekayim mitzvos. It's a world where there's just going to be nothing more than taking delight in the Shechina. Problem though is that today, how do we relate to that? How can you give us a yomtif of Shmini Atzeres, which is a dogma of Olam Haba? How does that fit? What's the nature? So that, as I saw yesterday, that's why it says Ach Sameach. Ach is a miut. It means to diminish. Simcha is a very great thing, but the simcha that's used to describe Olam Haba is Vatischak Liyom Acharon. We had this with Levi Yossan, that the joy that will be experienced when Mashiach will come will be on a higher madrega of Sechok. Sechok also li Elokim kol hashme yitzachak li vatischak li yom acharon. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this mitzvah of Simcha, of Shmini Atzeres, which is a dogma for Me'ein Olam Haba, it's v'hayisa ach. It's not the real thing yet. The real thing would be Sechok. Ach is a niyat. Go down one notch lower than tzichok. What's a notch lower than tzichok? Simcha. You only have simcha lafuke tzichok, which is even a higher madrig. It's a dogma of fully aslava. All right. But one last concluding vard is we have the mitzvah of lo sis godidu. Don't gash yourself. If a says in the parasha that Klal Yisrael are considered to be banim, lois siskoydu, lois asimo korcha bein enechem lemes. So Chazal tell us, the pasuk says that if Rashi quotes the Chazal that the Amorim, the nation of the world, when they would be presented death, when they would suffer death, it was their custom to take a razor and cut their head and make gashes in their head in their grief. There are some cultures today that still do this. They make cuts in their head, bring out blood to express their frustration. Now this, and the pasuk says, this Balaturim says, that there are 12 words in this pasuk. There are 12 words. to tell us that they're connected, the Yud Beis Shvatim. Klal Yisrael is begeder banim. And then it goes on to say, Ki am kadosh atol Hashem lokecha, you are a holy nation, uvcha bochar Hashem lihios lo le'am sigula mikol am asher al pnei ho'adam. Okay, it's a very bizarre thing. Torah is telling us, don't behave like the Amorim. Rashi says, don't make geshes when a person is faced with death. This pasuk is extremely important because this pasuk is the pasuk that tells us where the Mekom of Tefillin should be. It says in the Torah, last week we had Tefillin. Tefillin appears in the Torah in two places, in Parshas Ekev, well really three places, Parshas Ekev, Parshas V'eschanan, and Parshas Bo. And Tefillin, it says, V'hayu l'totofos bein einechem. So if you take the pasuk literally, where would you put the Tefillin? You put the Tefillin in between the eyes, upon the top part of the nose. And in fact, there are many people, unfortunately, they do this. There are some pictures. What?
That's because they believe their hairline was...
There was once on their nose.
No,
it was once on their nose. So this pasuk is an extremely...
No,
this pasuk, the Gemara makes a drasha, and the Gemara makes a gezeirah shava. It says, V'hayu l'totofos bein einechem, between your eyes. And it says here in Parsha Asre'eh, this week's Parsha, Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, lois siskoididu, v'lois sosimu korcha, a bold spot, bein einechem, lames. Just like here it says, bein einechem, between your eyes, and it says, by tefillin between your eyes, so we link the two together. And just like here, when it says, bein einechem, it does not mean literally between your eyes, but it means on the forehead, where here once grew between your eyes, because it says, karcha has means that there's a possibility, your hair is growing, natural hair grows, and now you're going to pull it out, so it tells us, derech agav, when it comes to tefillin, the bein einechem, by tefillin is not between on your nose, the bridge of your nose, but rather it's on the forehead up above. So it comes at a very powerful concept. What many people ask, what is the purpose of tefillin? We wear tefillin, what is it all about? It's an os, it's a remembrance, it's a sign, a zikaron. Why are tefillin black? They're dark. Darkness, it doesn't have to be black, maybe the ritzuas must be black, but the minig is tefillin are dark. Another very strange concept that we have with regard to tefillin is tefillin, the parashios are buried deep inside the compartment. If you ever open a pair of tefillin, the parashios are first wrapped in parchment, and then they're inserted. They're doubly concealed. The parashios are not just put inside the tefillin. They're first wrapped in parchment, and they're sealed with a hair, and then they're put inside. And if it's not wrapped, it's puzzle. The tefillin have to be doubly concealed. And they're put all the way inside. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, what is it all about? This pasuk here opens up the entire meaning, the deeper meaning of what tefillin are all about. The essence of tefillin is the concept of emuna, faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in the darkest of times. Here the pasuk says about the Amorim, V'loi sosimu korcha bein einechem lames. There is nothing more challenging in this world that requires more faith in dealing with death. How can a human being deal with death? It is the most challenging thing in this world with regard to emuna. And the Amorim did not know how to deal with death. What did they do? When there was death, they stabbed themselves. They brought out blood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you, Klal Yisrael, are not like that. You, I've given emuna. I've given you faith. A neshama leaves this world, you have, even though it's impossible to appreciate, you have to have emuna, the neshama goes to a better place. And believe that, have emuna. And the message is, what the Amorim do, they cut themselves on their forehead, you, Klal Yisrael, put on that makom, tefillin, a sign, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. They'll have to is Hashem Elokeichem, have emuna. And that's why the tefillin are black. Black represents darkness. Why are the tefillin, the shameless of Lash Baruch Hu, buried inside a double layer of wrapping? The Anochi Haster Aster Ponai Bayom Ahu. Double expression of hiddenness. Hiddenness. Hashem's name, the shameless, are doubly hidden. And that's, it's doubly hidden in a time of Misa. Hashem said to Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hareini no es kevodecha. And now, what did Hashem say to Moshe? And what did Moshe Rabbeinu want to know? We learned tzadik v'ra'ala rasha v'tovlo. The thing which we grapple, the thing which is the hardest thing for us to understand. Like the Baruch Hu said, for that you're not going to understand. But Isa es achorai uponai lo yerohu. What did Hakadosh Baruch Hu show Moshe Rabbeinu? He showed Moshe the dalit of the tefillin, but the tefillin themselves that you can't understand. What does that tell us? Moshe was asking questions of faith, of understanding Kodesh Baruch. Kodesh Baruch says you have to have faith. And that was expressed in the concept of tefillin. All of these ideas, they converge, they come together. The wearing of tefillin represents a concept of an expression of, I have emuna in HaKadosh Baruch. When the Amorim, when they're dealing with challenge of emuna, of lameis, and they're going and they're putting blood on their foreheads, Klal Yisrael is saying, even in the most challenging, dark times, V'anochi haster aster panai, I have emuna, I put on my head, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and a good Shalom.